Should we start?
All right, you ready? Let's start. We have to go introduction. I'm John Lindman, I'm a vice chair.
Chris Owens, current board member for the last 4 years.
Sarah Winken, staff.
Todd Olson, Parks and Rec Board member.
Vicki Handy, Parks and Rec Board co-chair. Diana?
Diana Lowry, Park and Recreation Board member.
And Megan Bates on staff.
Cool.
Great.
Has everybody seen tonight's agenda?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, great. Then the approval of the summary notes. I saw those on my email this morning. I didn't see anything wrong with them, but I don't think them that closely.
Move to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Good. All right. No community comments? This board is much nicer when we don't have an issue with six people in, okay?
Waiting.
Okay, I guess we're going to go to business use in the parks.
Yeah. Tara, do you mind helping me? We're going to, it's always interesting to pull up a slideshow. So what I wanted to do to start today was to kind of just show you, we haven't made any headway in making any policy that I'd be bringing to you at this time. I've been doing lots of research, checking in with other agencies, and I realized, know where we're going, we need to be able to look at what we currently have, what we're currently, how we're operating. People of renting for commercial business, nonprofit, kind of what we already do. I wanted to share that with you all. You may already know it, but just in case. And then kind of see some of the gaps that we already know that we were trying to sort out to address. Anything with a policy, you know, it may not be all encompassing. You want to have some, able to be, have some discretion in there too, based on, just want to make sure that you're not, I think I mentioned this, putting it all into a square box. There's going to be a caveat that we have to have some adjustments when opportunities arise. So I was just going to go over today quickly with, and have Tara intervene if I missed something, about kind of what we have and where we're going, and then knowing that the next couple of meetings we'll be bringing more information and probably some templates and just getting any feedback that you have as we go through. Initially, the thought was to hire a consultant to do this. I'm trying to figure out who that exactly is. You know what I mean? I am going to our ORPA conference in 2 weeks, and so I'll be in a few more rooms, an easier conversation to talk to some other directors to see who they've, I've emailed a few. And then I realized we don't have necessarily a process for approving policies. So again, which is okay. It's okay. But just knowing, like, what is
that? Do we need to hire somebody to do it?
Well, that was the initial thought, just because I personally didn't want to have be my bias of what it is or not. But again, looking at from a business perspective, what our goals and missions are with our department, I don't think we necessarily, but I want to kind of vet out a few more with some of our other, our partnering agencies to see a fluid, because more of these things will come up, right? And just making sure I have the right process in place. So, because we've been working with Down to Earth, making sure that they're moving forward right now, I needed to take a little bit more time, more so just from workload, but to be able to come to present to you with something of a draft. And I think that'd be a place to start of, and then we can kind of critique it and finalize it as we go through. You said it is or shared?
No.
Okay. Share.
I'm not sure where.
Oh, it's over there in the top right corner. Try that one. Oh, it didn't do it. Put the WebEx meeting. Oh, that's fun. Hi, everybody. Technical difficulties on the airway.
I'm already logged into WebEx.
Yeah, that's really odd. Diana, you can't see a shared screen, can you? Nope. Okay.
That's wrong.
Oh, that's fun.
So,
are you able to open in your, you don't want to
can you go see the little box that Diana's in, the third one? That should do it, yeah.
Sure, sure.
There you go.
Oh,
do screen.
Oh, the one on the left.
Oh, it's not yet.
And then share.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's always the team effort. Look at this.
Thank
you. Good job. Here you go. Thank you.
Thanks, the team knows how to do everything.
There we go.
Good job. Thanks. So, again, this is probably something that you all already know, but we're just in case. But for me, when we look at anything we do, this is something that pulling from, it wasn't in our parks plan, it's on our website, but something that the department will be refining is kind of when we're looking at whatever, any policy that we're going to create, we want to look at our mission statement. And eventually we'll have maybe a mission and vision statement, and we'll go through our staff and work with you all on that. But to provide life-enhancing experiments and to promote a healthy community, it's accomplished by providing safe, attractive and well-maintained parks, facilities, trails and open spaces, as well as creative and challenging recreation programs for the enjoyment of Weston citizens for all ages. I already can see this was written quite a while ago, so there's some things that are missing in here that we'd want to update over time, but looking at that's kind of our starting platform when we're looking at what is our job and mission here in Westland as the Parks and Recreation Department. This slide, Diane, you don't even know I'm sliding you around the screen. So back in 2020, this has not been fully released. It's not even fully implemented, and there's reasons for that. But several agencies around, including Lake Oswego with Westland and Oregon City, and I think there was two other agencies who were with us, right, Tara?
No, it's Hello, Oregon City. I don't remember what from the
Well, what we did is we all partnered together to go through this training with 110%.
Can you put it on slideshow so it's a little bit bigger?
All you have to do is go down and click right there.
Oh, look, you tapped it yourself. Tapped it. It's a screen. Play in that.
And then all you have to do is click down and it'll advance for you.
Look, thank you for training me. I so appreciate it.
Now we can read it.
Yeah, you can. So I want to explain this a little bit, and this is a whole other topic, but knowing that we as a city and other cities had did this process with a company called 110%, Jamie, who she is known throughout the nation as being a top parks and recreation professional and helping to understand budgets. When you do true cost recovery, and our department really honestly cannot do it, LO was not even able to do it. It's acquiring for, like, when you think of a business with your what you're producing in your widgets. So it'd be like, so Vicky is going to rent a shelter, and the cost of that shelter cost takes into account the maintenance person that was there, as well as the deferred appreciation, as well as the toilet paper. The idea of that is grand. It doesn't really ever pan out unless you're a very, very large agency. And so going through this process, it did give us a lot of framework. We are going to start kind of going back to that and looking at, it's not a solid document as far as you adapt it over time, but the department, and Tara may be able to, Tara was here for this. I had a different experience in LO, but you go through in all of your area of categories and you look at what your cost recovery is. And what your goals are. And that doesn't mean that you're there now. Is, you know, their goal was to get to there in 2023. So when we look at some of our reservations that we have for, like, even just renting at the adult community center, when prices were increased in 2018, you look at to see what is our cost recovery. Now, we're not fully doing that, right? Because we're still looking right now for me at our budget of what we're spending versus what's coming in. We're not meant to be making a ton of revenue and profits. But just to know that kind of there is a trajectory that we're going to be looking back at as we start placing items and reservations into these categories. And you can see where rentals are at. There's a higher cost recovery than where you would have an open space where somebody just comes in and uses the park. When you see a 5% or a community, like a 5%, that means you may get sponsorship to help out to help offset maybe goods and services that you may be providing to the park. When you look at community events, that's our goal as far as what we get for sponsorship and donation to put on those events, target goal. In Lake Oswego, it was much lower because there was a larger general fund. But here, because we're trying to cover costs, really, and not have a ton necessarily left over, but that's how you also can expand is if you're able to make a little bit more, you can expand your programming. So in the community education service, you kind of see pop those through. I think that this will be something that we'll be reviewing over the next few years because it hasn't fully been implemented, and it, like I said, it won't, but at least it gives us our, as far as the full cost recovery piece. But the premise of it gives us kind of a, where should we be at? And then if we do increase something, why? and we have more of the why listed one. So more on this down the road, but I wanted to show you that there is a method.
So maybe it's kind of back to things like if you get a corporate sponsorship or something like that, is that part of the recovery? Is that counted towards?
It would.
So this isn't solely the what can we get the community to pay for as they go. Okay,
no, exactly. No, not at all. These are things that we kind of charge for, right? So like the idea, I had different titles, so I'm going to mess it up a little bit, but when you have non-skilled based activities, think of when you have beginning ballet and you have 30 kids, little kids in there doing ballet. Mm-hmm. And then when you're looking at more where there's the more advanced, let's see, the course, the beginning, we have more advanced up top. That's where you have like maybe 5 ballet dancers who are getting that specialized, like it's serving less of the community and it's way more focused. And that's kind of why that those are different in prices. You could have rental, I mean, you can switch these anyway. This came off of kind of a projection of what the community had already given information from the parks, the master plan, and kind of where things were already set. And then you see on the bottom, it starts where the common good goes to the more individualized. So buying the can of soda as opposed to coming and walking through the park is kind of that extreme.
So just out of curiosity, where would you put the summer camps? On that, is that kind of the courses, classes thing, or
was that in the non-skill based activity?
No, okay.
No, I'm asking her to make sure. It's been a while,
so yeah, because community and education services now, yeah, it would have been the non-skill based activities,
right?
Okay.
Yeah,
it's just an anchor point, is
that? Yeah, exactly. That would be one, right. And then you think about that because we do that in house, which you'll see that has a lower overhead than hiring a contractor to do it, right? But we only have so much bandwidth with time, so we actually do get a better cost recovery on the summer camps, even though the prices are relatively low, because we're doing it in-house.
I think that that's a big differentiator. This is something that the parks is sponsoring. It's in our guide, or totally separate.
Yes, and that's what you're going to see. Thank you for leading, I think, to my next slide. Is it down or over?
It can be either.
Okay, now again, you don't even know that you're moving across the screen, Dan, but you're sliding on the other side. You're moving. Okay. So these are types of park uses that we have. You know, of course, public use is our main focus to start, but then the healthy initiatives and the experiences that we create as a department. So we have our in-house programming, like we mentioned, and this is not all of them. Tara actually listed even more of them for me. I just wanted to give you an example so it fits in your head. Fun in the Sun and Mini Hoopers, we do that with our halftime staff member who puts those programs on, all that coordination. But a lot of our programming, when you look at our guide, is with contracted instructors. Those contracted instructors have to have a business license within Westland. They have to have a certain amount of insurance to be able to cover that. And they, what they're doing is they're fulfilling the things that we are lacking that we're not able to provide to the community. And a process that we'll be going through here over the next couple of months is looking at all the classes that we offer. Which demographics are they serving? Is there areas in our categories that we're missing? Like, we know that we're missing what we want, more arts and culture, because we can see that that's lacking, right? We can see that environmental isn't on there. And what we're going to start to do over the next year is start to do some more surveys that come out at the end of our season to see if there's a request of those type of classes, not just creating classes for the sake of them, but if we see a lack or a need, we can try them. And then if the community is asking for a demand for something more, then we can know where we're moving to. And then of course, all of our sports youth organizations, which we do all of the field management and coordination, but still a rental, and working on what that's gonna look like as well, because some of our affiliates don't pay for those fields. And some of them do that are not our, they're not our
legally.
Yes.
Just Westland
based. Yeah, based, yeah. Right. Feeder programs.
Yeah.
Select feeder programs that go into you. And so when you look at that, in most cases, unless we're putting on a tournament, we're not having any cost recovery on that. And when you say, again, that looks, it sounds so money grabbing, but what we're putting in, they're not paying, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's what we look at to see what we're providing. Oh, I missed a little bump here. Including another thing that we offer that is not even us, but it's our partnership with the library. We are partnering with them more to be able to do activities in the park. We did Terrific Tuesdays. It's been so successful. We're actually having to adjust our Fun in the Summer because it was just too many people coming to the park with kids that Laura and her team were trying to manage, and they're getting commingled with the public kids that were coming. But then looking at what other items can they be doing. For example, right now they're doing a beginner yoga at the library, which usually there's sometimes kind of a rift between libraries and Parks and Rec, because they can do a lot of things for free where we can't, but that's not the case. I was so excited that we're like, hey, if you want to do a beginner yoga there, then feed them, have that instructor be the one feeding to our program that we do that every week. And so that just that partnership alone and bringing the library activities out into the park is a huge added benefit for the community. And then businesses and nonprofits. So rentals in general, like I just mortgage, I had one in LA, so the mortgage thing you wouldn't think of, a mortgage company coming to do a private event. There's a private event where they're doing a celebration with all of their recent mortgage, you know, people that were people that they've made had mortgages with. But then there's also the difference if they were out, they don't do this, but if they were out there marketing and promoting their company to the public, that would not be allowed. Outside camps as well, trying to understand when we have somebody else coming in to use the park and they're coming in and wanting to use a shelter, but they didn't follow a process. What is that? Like some agencies will say, no, we don't allow any outside camps or we only allow camps that aren't competing with our programs. Mm-hmm. So every agency's got a little bit different way of wordsmithing that. And then ongoing agreements. We only have the REI. We have a verbal agreement. They wanted to actually have a written agreement with us this year, and I dropped the ball on it. Ken had a couple more years before I did. We want to get an agreement because what are they providing? They're coming to our community and having to figure out to meet with our goals and mission. They're providing beginner classes to open to the public. Yes, they advertise, but could they advertise within our program guide and be able to provide beginner classes for adults that we can't provide? We provide kids camp for kayaking. And paddleboarding too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, paddleboarding. So we provide that and we do that through another company, but REI loved, what's the benefit to Westland for them to come there? How do we have an agreement? Like one thing that we were talking with them is a benefit is they do water safety. And you know, our staff go and move those docks. It always freaks me out now that I know that. But wouldn't that be great if part of that trade-off would be that they give us training, and you know, what does that agreement work look like for them to be able to be there? Because they are making a revenue on it. It is beginner classes with all the equipment, but how do you make it benefit? And then one we have had a couple times, but it's food carts. Trying to understand what that is, right? Artie's at Marriott Young that goes with the snow cones. There was another one that was over at Hammerly, and just trying to figure out a process. What should we be allowing? How do we give them a process to do it right? And is there a benefit to the community? I think it's pretty cool. But making sure that those who are following the rules are not getting slighted and not those who are not, it's not fair, right? So, what am I going to do now? And please jump in at any time. I don't mean to be like running through this.
For City of Portland Parks and Rec, I'm sure you've gone through all of theirs. I mean, they have application, it spells out, here's all of the insurance you need to mark exactly where in the park you're going to be, even the trails, and that's for 30 people or less. Mm-hmm. If it's more than 30 people, it has a whole nother process. Mm-hmm. So, and the insurance they state is only up to 30 people.
Yeah.
So, you know. I always believe in benchmarking what else is out there.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, you'll see on my next slide that's what I'm doing, and I have even more. So I wanted you guys to see what we currently have in place, and they all kind of, some of them tie together. So these are actually some that we're looking at with even our applications with our city attorney on the list of things to look over. But obviously we have shelter reservations for single day use. This year, we're going to be, I think, pretty confident we'll be stopping at September 30th. Most agencies would start to go to the end of October. But when we start doing weekend reservations, we've got to pay overtime, and we're hardly getting any reservations. And so peeling it back to September 30th, and it's first come, first serve after that. That'll be adapted for next year. Special event permit. So interesting enough, any special event permit for the entire city comes to Tara. So if John is having a film moving at his house and he needs to block off the road and he has his whole film crew coming and the caterers, that's a special event permit that comes to Tara. And the new thing that we're doing is Parks was just kind of the ones approving those. I am changing that where it's going. I don't manage streets, so police and fire, everybody, engineering, public works has to weigh in on those, right? But with for people over groups for over 100,
or if they have amplified music, yeah, using a right of way street or something. There's some
block parties, the really common one that we have, right? Food carts. Right now, I was reading through the food cart permit. It's actually through the planning department, and it, from what I can read, I still need to check. It doesn't actually show Parks as a place to have a food cart as an option. And again, it was just when the time it came on versus what we do. Do we want food carts everywhere? In my last location, we picked three areas where you could have. I mean, they were usually coming for reservations. It wasn't. They just couldn't come and sell to the public. They could come for a reservation for a dedicated group of people.
How about for like our music on the hill?
Those are different because there are events. So, okay. But again, but making sure that language is in that application, yeah, right?
They have to have a lot of
we
things
have,
checked.
They sure do. Yeah, and we've got that on our list, but making sure that it connects with planning is a key. Fundraising parkland, there's actually a policy for that. So if we want to, you know, if somebody wanted to come, there's a process and protocol. And then other reservations that we have, obviously our programming, other cities and then teams, we have some of those policies in place or best management practices.
When you say other city departments, you mean other cities, like
no, actually other, like, so planning department going out to do, like, if they were going to do a pop-up, libraries talked about doing a remote library pop-up, like, so, you know, they would go to a park and have where you can get books or their van. So other cities coming and using a renting space. For those areas. And what we do right now, we're getting our timeline a little bit better because, you know, most of our use is during the summer. We don't do regular reservations. We do special events in the off season if it makes sense to do. Most people, they've got it down as to why they're doing it. But we have to have, everybody has to have their reservations in, including the our department. As we go first, library, other departments come in, and then they open up to the public. Did we push it back to February 15th?
February 1st.
February 1st is when then anybody else can go and make reservations. So that really puts the onus on us to make sure what our brochure's coming out, so it has to be done. Mm-hmm. But trying to work with the other departments for other park use, but then it's open for sports and the public.
So where do other cities fit in? And I ask because taking grandkids to camp, Marriott Young, there were four different camps going on at the same time, and one of them had a sign out, was City of Lake Oswego.
So we have a partnership. So in years past, Terry, you can talk years past. I think they've actually stopped. They were supposed to stop coming, and some of the environmental seem to like to. That's part of what we're working on.
Okay.
Yeah. But we did partner with Lake Oswego. We have.
Feel free to take these pictures and be like, hey, send that over to this. You know, we're not there all the time, and some of them kind of. But like Coil, you know, we partner with them and they have so many spots for like Oswego, Wilsonville, AWOL, but now we're having them just rent space.
Okay. Yeah, but our stuff would come first and then they would do the secondary rent. So we are going to be looking at, because we do share a lot of the same programmers, it's nice to know if we're having a problem with somebody or if they are. Or is there a good way? I think they did stop this year. I thought that's what Sid said. But they were, that whole thing of, because what we were charging less than Lake Oswego, their cost recovery was higher. So, right? So then it wasn't making sense for them either. So they stopped doing that camp. And then those, you know, their citizens come and sign up here. I was doing the same thing, vice versa. But yeah, that was a really good question. But if you do ever see, I make a lot of cold calls. We had, a lady who was doing pop-up, again, small, but she was charging $20 a kid for an hour of story time at a splash pad with toddlers. And I saw it online. I was just like, hey, do you maybe want to partner with us? This is kind of a cool thing. If we had this pop-up around, we wouldn't charge $20. And she was like, hey, I might consider that. I said, well, this year, please, you got it planned out for the summer, but next summer, know that you need to make a reservation. So because we don't have enough manpower to police it, right? Well, I don't have things in place. That's kind of where I was. And even that was the same with Down to Earth, right? Trying to find that right balance of what is the right thing to do with our level of risk and then be able to set the stage to have a process that allows people to do it, to make it easy and defined. But right now, before we were just kind of winging it, and we weren't monitoring it. Like, park staff weren't coming and saying, there's this camp going on. They just would assume it was ours. I'm like, no. If you see it, let me know, because we can call and say, give us a little fee. Go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about sports team.
Yeah.
Because, you know, since I coach cross country,
yes,
we have cross country meets from our high school. There's a cross country meet Monday.
And do we know about it?
That's maybe, maybe not.
We don't.
That's Rosemont Ridge.
No, but see, we need to know those things.
Yeah, I know. So we told that to Rosemont Ridge. We haven't had a meet for our cross country for a long time yet.
Yeah.
Because people don't like to run in the park, race in the park.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard.
It is.
They like to be, you know, yeah, I mean, it just is. But the bottom line is, it's Monday. I know that Rosemont Ridge is having a course there. And I know they're having a course because I'm good to set it up.
Yes. But so we met with the school district, because that's exactly, especially at Marianne Young, we'll end up, right now, we already know on Saturday things are overbooked. So we're already talking about a plan of how are we going to adjust that? How do we talk with soccer teams? Can we have that many teams? Think about that. We have the field. So
did the middle school talk to you about
that? The middle school, I thought they reached out to Alyssa for one of them, and she denied it because soccer's there.
Okay, because I mean, as far as I know, and this is.
But then maybe they're not reaching out. But that's one thing. Yeah, but I think that's where it, and again, the timing of making sure that we know in advance, because we've programmed soccer already during the summer for fall. So that's just, those are things that we're learning.
Usually what we'll do is we'll let the, if we're going to have a high school meet there, we'll talk to the soccer people and make a deal with them to use some soccer field.
Yeah, but
and we're supposed to tell the city.
Yeah, they're supposed to come to us.
But the Ken's always said, it's one of your sports teams, whatever you want.
And if you notice, I'm not Ken, because what it's doing, it actually creates problems for us for maintenance-wise. We don't know the way that people are coming to the park. The parking has become such an issue. I've gotten so many complaints about parking. So again, trying to give a good service. Is really where
middle school cross country meet will fill that lower parking.
But think about that.
Buses and other
but even if so, even if you coordinated with soccer, that's great that you guys gave room. We're over capacity for parking.
Yeah. And so we didn't. High school didn't do anything. All we're going to do is help run the meet.
No. I'm not kidding. But just trying to explain to you, we can make it work. But that's exactly what we're trying to kind of untangle. So it's not trying to deny anybody, but then we also don't. Because the community is getting upset that we're having too much at one park.
So that would be helpful to sports teams, even at the school, know that that needs to happen.
Good. We met with the school
district. Yeah, well, and if the school district ends up getting $6 million of taxpayers' money to pay for land that's already public land, kind of, I could see parks and rec fees for stuff like this going up.
Well, and I'll show you some of that. That's kind of some of those questions, and another thing for sports in general. So again, so know from my heart, I don't like to let people down. That's where I get my worry face, is like, oh my gosh, and oh my gosh, they're coming, and then they're paying a fee, and then like, oh my gosh, and then I've already got. So that's what we're trying to untangle, so that everybody knows what to expect when they arrive. I mean, it's really what it comes down to, right? Can you imagine being a parent and it looks like we don't know what's going on? You have to move or you can't get parking, you know? So that's kind of what we're trying to work through. I mean, again, it's same thing with the camp with the lady who was doing this really cool reading camp, but she didn't have a reservation. So she was coming to shelter because our camp wasn't there yet. And then there was this conflict. That's kind of it, right? Kind of having a better understanding of what's going on in our parks. So Terry wrote that down. I love that cross country meet, by the way. My daughter loved it. It looked easy. Looks like it's easy. It's actually really hard to run.
They were supposed to tell you.
Because they got denied on one of them. They called in and requested, and the doctor said no.
Seems to me like the date got changed. It was going to be last Monday, but it's not going to be this.
Oh, maybe that's why it changed, but still.
But they still didn't reach out.
So check and see if that's the case.
Okay.
Because,
The soccer takes precedence over
it's
the school of cross country.
Because it's our program first.
It's been 4 or 5 years since we've had a high school meet there. Mm-hmm. But when I had a high school meet, I know the guy, the director of the soccer group. So I called him up and said, here's what we'd like to start. And he said, that's fine. And so moved their team.
That's not in here either. That would be private. So what we currently don't have a process for right now, and I had Tara review this, and there's probably a few things missing, but like the drop-in food cart, you know, like, and maybe that's something we want to offer. Other larger agencies do, like smaller ones don't usually, but maybe that's a benefit, right? Private camps that want to run our park. We only have an in-resident, non-resident fee. that doesn't accomplish that commercial piece that they're not getting anything back. I mean, we still may have less students involved,
sure.
But it may not be, and it could be adult classes too. Private classes, lessons, businesses for marketing, which luckily we don't have too much, but we did have somebody want to do that, the coin-operated dog wash. Again, it was a private service, but it's also mostly marketing the company, right? Mm-hmm. And then schools, down to earth is schools that may want to use our parks, and we have a lot of outdoor schools that will come or have in the past who will rent it for the day as a shelter to hold a outdoor school class. That's very common with most agencies. To have a full school operating out is not kind of part of why we're here to start that conversation. But there's a whole bunch of other things to encompass. So where I have way more than this, but I wanted to show a few, and we'll see if my links work. But when I first started the conversation looking for other forest schools, Bend Parks and Recreation, this third district, it's a huge organization, right? They have so much space. But that's where this whole business use and park, I had never used that kind of terminology, but that was where they categorized it. And they have, let me see, oh, it does work. Let me just see if I can get back to it after I'm done and see how long it takes to load. It was interesting to see how they had it lined out in that code is a school. This is not their policy. They actually sent me their actual policy. And as I was researching online, not most agencies have their policies online. Like Oswego does, they went through an accreditation, so I can get those easier too because I know the people. But they had on here explaining they allowed it and what the process was and the protocols. And I'm going to scroll. I can share some of these with you. But the part that I thought was really interesting is that when they looked at it, they gave the flexibility for the opportunity, but then it gave the staff, say we did have. Say we had the cross-country when we had on a weekend, we had the middle schoolers coming making a follow-up on the same day, and we had soccer. And then we had somebody who wanted to come and do the snow cone snow cone trailer or truck. You know, is that the proper use for that day? Is there already too many people? Is it creating a line somewhere? It would give us a chance to say that those that may, or somebody want to do a large festival, you know? And we were like, nope, we've got overbooked. We can't meet that criteria right now. I don't know if this is really valuable to even share with you guys because it's going to keep flipping you back and forth here. What I looked at here for Lake Oswego, they didn't have a straight policy on it, but on this is what their rate schedule is. So rate one, rate two, rate three are defined. The rate one is for open or closed to the public, events with no sales, no admission fees, no concessions, no entry fees, no pledges for future revenue, no sponsorship. Two is open to the public but generates sales or has an admission fee.
So, right? So our friends at the school, Park School, would be a rate three.
They would be a rate three because it's closed to the public.
And it
doesn't have to be all of them, any of those, right? Where it triggered. Where it'd be a rate three. And you can see where it's definitely favorable to the residents, first off. And then for those who are outside, you know, depends on if they're making money and then if it's fully commercial and private. And so it was just another way to go ahead and look at that. The other thing, I don't know if I clicked
on. Jamie, while you have that, what has our friends at the school, what has been their fee?
They're doing this currently. They're paying the shelter fee, that resident rate for based on the amount of people. So that currently with the agreement, we're only able to rent them the shelter and defined bathroom use and parking space, because as soon as we started renting the park, we were getting into a whole nother layer of risk and liability.
Right.
So that's we've extended to them right now because they were paying the current, you know, and their business is actually outside of the city. It's out of their business license is held in Oregon City. So that was kind of our extended olive branch to be okay. We don't want to rock your boat too much on this, but we need to be like the residents are paying.
So what do we charge them to rent?
Right now they're 100 and a day. Okay. And that would be what any one of us would pay if we paid the shelter, if we rented the shelter for the day.
Can you just scroll back?
Yeah.
Like as we go?
Yeah.
Okay, 100 a day? It's 450
105 a day. Okay. Yeah, Lake Oswego, we wouldn't have the capacity to do this. And again, you would adjust your numbers of what we pay. You have the whole day from 9 to... Yeah, what's our rental time? 9 to 8. Yeah. So what we're looking at, again, this is a whole master fees thing, but right now when somebody rents that, they don't usually use it the whole day.
Yeah.
And so we're changing our application. Somebody may not come in until 10. And what happens if we go clean it, somebody else uses it, and then now they pay the fee and out of the mess. I would love to be able to divide it into two time frames, a morning and an afternoon, and reduce that rate so that we could actually have two reservations in there with a turnover time in the middle, and somebody could still reserve it for the whole day. I haven't looked at the numbers to see how that works out, but that's kind of something in the future. But three was actually really hard to do in LO because we had to pay overtime because it spanned to 6 o'clock and the changeout time, I think, no, 8 o'clock, the changeout time was at 4. Staff was usually going home at 2:30, so I had to shift. So I don't know if the overall cost recovery of that worked out, but we would get people that would book two reservations, you know, the noon and the evening or the morning and the afternoon.
So the equivalent, just to, because understanding what the our neighbors are doing. So if I wanted to do an outdoor school there, I would be paying $180 for a half day of the shelter and $210 an hour for non-shelter park areas.
It wouldn't be allowed to start because they don't allow repeat reservation ongoing in their parks. So that's where they have that in their actual, not in their fee schedule. They have that written as their policy for rentals, and they do not allow any without director's approval, any activity that directly competes with current programming. Like we wouldn't want, like we work with Skyhawk. We wouldn't want to have somebody else who offers the same type of activity to the same age group in the next, and what if their prices are lower or what if without any certain cost recovery. They do allow though with that rate, they may, you know, somebody, Jordan Kent, I can't remember part of them, but that's an example. They would pay the higher third party rate if it wasn't conflicting with what a program that the department was offering. And I think Jordan Kent's there. I can't remember. That was just an example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember. That's what it is, right? So again, there's so many different ways to go about this. I just wanted to show you some of the complexities. And it also doesn't have, this is super complicated for them because they have all these really big premier places that companies rent out, gigantic weddings. It's crazy how much goes on there. I didn't put the link in there. So I think I already told you the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, again, knowing because they own that land in general, they just have a definition of what recreational activities are. And then anything outside of that, the commercial or business that are not recreational activities would have a special event permit that they would have to, or special condition, I think is what it's called. So the school would be that. I'm trying to think of something else. AWOL would probably be that, right? It's not typical recreation for a park. They would have to apply for a permit, get that approval to have that activity. So you can still have other activities. It's just a different permit process. City of Portland is probably what Vicki was alluding to. Wait, again, they have way more complications as far as the amount of spaces and huge festivals. But, you know, they call it commercial activity. And then they have all of their guidelines. So I even started pulling up Wilsonville's I haven't got yet, I've asked for, but, you know, communities that are more of our size. Also, what we're able to service, right? We can put all these fees out there, but if I can't provide a good service for it, we can't, right? Yeah, it's something similar to like our athletic fields. We used to have a fee for lining them. We just don't have the capacity. I took it off because if somebody new comes in and says, hey, well, I'm going to pay you $5 to line a field, which it takes way more than that. But I was like, we can't offer it. So why should we be putting that on there? So some of that, I guess I'm trying to paint a picture of where my head is of trying to kind of, what are we needing? What is our goal? What is our mission as far as protecting the land and the youth, but providing really good services to our community? Mm-hmm. And then what is that fee? It shouldn't be outlandish, but what helps us? And I want to be able to say to people, this is a part of a cost recovery and why. It's like the Boy Scouts wanting a lower rate over at Sunset Fire Hall versus the others. It was a very good question though, right? Very good question. Other nonprofits, why are we paying this much? And looking at it, when you looked at our rental, where was our cost recovery? And it's still lower than what a resident of either one of us would pay. And so being able to justify costs, and that they're not just made up out of thin air is what I really want to be able to do. I think I'm at the end of my slideshow of sharing. Yeah. Wrote this one, right? Stop sharing. I just want to make sure I didn't turn off the... There we go. So I know that with a lot of me talking, it usually is, but I want to be able to pull some of these pieces together, looking at what we have, what kind of, what should that be? And especially if it does go to a commercial fee, which in some way, or, you know, a business, it feels like it should, that it should. There can still be a nonprofit, but that goes into a fee schedule change that comes the next year cycle that we'll be moving towards. But wanted to just really get a good grasp of what is out there, templates we can use, why people are doing it, and how it best fits us. So I have spent quite a bit of time on it, but I haven't been able to really put something together to show you, which I really had hoped to today. So in December, that's my goal, to come back and see where that looks and how that feels. But like I said, I'm also going to be checking when I go to the conference in 2 weeks with other agencies to say, if you ever hire somebody to help with a policy, that I just really want to make sure it's transparent, and then we do it well. And then it has a review cycle too, because, you know, just because we make it doesn't mean it shouldn't be reviewed and updated. Is that 5 years down the road? Is there a change? And what is our process for it? Because right now, not every policy needs to come to Parks Board, and that would also waste your time. I'd like to show you if anything changes, or if we're needing help with something like this that has a little bit more of a different heart to it. I want to bring it and have weigh in and guidance on it. So, but also not bog you all down with every little thing. On there. So, yeah.
Good work.
Thank you. I wish I was further, but we're going to get there. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to have a good product, and then we're going to be able to hear feedback and then adapt it as we go, right? Because new things are going to come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
New agreements or new partnerships are going to come up that we may not have even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even some of our leagues like pickleball, they have kind of a loose agreement with them, and how does that work, and making sure that it's fair for what they're doing, but fair for the public who want, you know, so those things, it's just really, I think, going to sharpen us up a bit and be fair everywhere. So.
Well, it also enables you to have a transparent process.
Yeah.
Where if the process is talk to someone, go ahead, that's not a good process.
Because it could feel that it's personal.
And that's been the process.
I didn't want to say that.
It's just true.
And a lot of good things have come out of it too, from that. Like I even still talked, look at what Ken and Ken built. How quickly they did with that 2018 bond. There is no way I could have done that now, just because of different policies in place, plannings. It's just a different, even just from 2018, it's very different. And so I think there's a lot of things to build that are good to get here. Now we've got to refine it, so we're being very transparent. I also think for staff, anybody should be able to answer that phone and go, we know what the answer is. There should be the rarity. Now it's kind of like, well, we're doing this.
Really? Those group. People are there?
You know? I know that's kind of it. But again, like, and think about it from a customer service perspective. When we had somebody call that had a... for example, there was a softball tournament going on at Willamette. We had a reunion down at a shelter, and the river was completely full. That person who rented the shelter had not been down there on a Saturday, did not realize they were going to have limited parking. They got a ticket because they parked it in the non-boat or in the boat area. You know, we're like, okay, what could we have done better there? First off, we can't limit softball, but we already limit softball 1 weekend a month. They don't have a tournament. But then how do we notify that person? Should we be renting those shelters if we can't provide the service? You know, it's that question, you know, and then look at what that does to any revenue that we have. Do we notify them better about the parking? Like, it's all of those things. And Marriott Young is one that we're really trying to tackle right now because it is so loved. I mean, on the weekends, it is so loved. It just is. We need a secure parking garage there. You know?
Yeah.
We never get it, but we need
We're
it.
We're happy just to have a paved area instead of, you know, muddy and gravel.
Yeah.
It's better than it was.
It's so much better. Well,
it parked a lot more cars.
Remember.
And also, you all know, I haven't got it scheduled yet, but I've already been talking with a few of the friends there that we're going to meet with Jeff Randall, who does streets. He's really good at spaces, and look at additional, again, signage is signage, we know, but additional signage, additional striping or red curbing, which you usually don't want to do because it's labor intensive, but at least then we give our PD a chance to be able to help us with those situations where there's no signage, and then be able to talk with the soccer, you know, about really what our expectation is and how they need to help the situation. So,
yeah, a few years back, the soccer guys had volunteers that direct traffic so they could look at the one, say, this is full, go down here.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we're saying. But you can't do soccer in a huge 5K race.
No, we learned that. That was not, a lot of fun. Well, and
well, you have to know from the 5K race people is how many people you're going
to
have.
Well, that's what you have to.
You had a lot more than they expected.
And that's why you have fees and deposits and things that you can keep, and you keep notes. And then if they don't follow the rules, they don't get to come back.
Right.
And that's why you'll see at our event on Saturday that there is not soccer that day, because we have taken that up at capacity with our event. We let them know that there's not soccer that day. So,
okay.
Well, thank you for that. Sorry for the diatribe, but you guys will think of things now that you kind of have that perspective as you see it or you hear it or as you're in your travel needs. I'm open to ideas. So,
it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be necessary. And I like the transparency and just the access, like you said, that anybody can answer the questions. And you've got a standardized, you know, approach to it. And it'll be easier to revisit in 5 years or whatever you choose for the follow-up cycle.
Well, and if we deviate from anything, we end up with an agreement and have an explanation of why, you know, and that's the thing. For example, like a special event permit, if the Red Cross is wanting to do a blood drive down on the Willamette, well, that's still a fee, even though we know it's Red Cross. I mean, come on, right? Yeah. But currently that is just a fee, then. So you do that for them, then who, you know, so that's where we have some of those parameters and those guidelines, sort of like best practices within a policy or that support of policy, you know.
Great.
So
do you have a list of all those people that you've said you're going to give them a hall pass this last summer, but next year they've got to, you know, go through the correct channels?
I do. There's only four that I was able to, and again, that's the sweet spot about living in your own community and not, because something will come up on Facebook and I'll be like, oh,
and I would like cringing. Yeah.
I'm not trying to keep your fun, but we need to, you know, and so I've had those conversations to be able to say, hey, we're doing this and this is what we're trying to do. And there are also some ways that we can find new programs ourselves, right? That they can start working with us and not have to pay that fee. They, you know, they, there's different way that fee lines out. So and I haven't, staff haven't yet. That's just been me kind of on my little like, hey, I see you. You know. So thank you for your patience as I work through this with, and it's not just me, it's Tara talking with all the other staff who are managing to figure out, and the nice part is a lot of streamlining is just going to improve all of our processes, our application, our approvals, and if we have a denial, why, and
explain it. That's great. Thank you.
Take me well.
I did notice that the city of Portland had taken down that they have a hyperlink to guidelines for commercial use, and that page is not available right now. They've taken that down.
Yeah, it just means. Yeah.
So
the lawyers are working on it.
Well, then COVID changed a lot. Like a lot of these policies were in place, right? And just even with what they're handling in Portland with houselessness situations, it really does make you have to adjust some things. And they have even more red tape than we do, right, to get things approved. So,
Okay. So that was a really good overview. Before I forget, at the end of the meeting, can I show you just how to do this so you can attach it to the minutes very easily.
Okay.
So that's just a click, 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 and it makes it really easy.
Okay.
That way you don't have
to. We're all going like, okay.
I have to remember if they're getting attached to minutes, that's a little bit different game with what I'm making. You know, it's only got one picture attached and all of that. I got one picture before I had to stop.
No, it's great. It's great. Great overview.
Okay.
You said the Willamette Park. And project update.
I didn't have
kind of have a pin in that.
If I can have a pin in that right now, I have had some discussions already getting meetings together with finance and with John about what's left and remaining in the bond project. That's specifically about the bond project to start. There has been some exciting, you know, conversations. We are meeting, Tara's meeting, we're meeting with every volunteer group within our city right now, which has been a lot of fun. But we'll be meeting with that Willamette group too, the group down there as well. So there'll be more coming, but everything's still kind of stagnant. Been doing my eyes on the prize that this is, we're going to get to that point, but there is going to have to be some probably shifting of what we're capable of doing. So more coming.
Okay. And then other departments or project update?
Yeah, you guys got my little panic email.
About our very thick oak.
Yeah, so I wanted to give you an update. It isn't, first off, being the Parks and Recreation person and being an arborist, we've been hearing this is coming, mm-hmm. right? And it did joke, and I think Tara's heard this too many times. It happened on my birthday. I'm like, do we have to find that my birthday? That was not cool.
Sorry.
I haven't even been here a year. You know? But the parts I gave you the information, not much has changed there, but I really wanted to really reiterate the A team and how lucky we are that Wilsonville has gone through. Troutdale had one tree, and that was, you know, they had one tree. But Wilsonville got hit quite a bit, and a lot of their issues is large oak trees are native Quercus garryana that are stressed. So they're seeing in large trees, which are going to stress anyway, in a way like they, you know, oaks don't have usually a single leader, they have co-dominant stems. So that puts pressure on, you get good cracking. The ice storms were one of the trees that got really hit, right? They couldn't shed well. And so that was where they were seeing their trees find it. And now the interesting part is, you know, we have our trees, but there's a lot on private land. So the part that is a little unnerving in my role is that most other agencies' trees are also partnered with planning. And so like in Wilsonville, it's the planning department and parks department. Well, all the trees are kind of under the parks purview. I have a great team in planning. This also goes to public works because, you know, they handle trees and storms and removals. But I'm so thankful that I'm really close with Wilsonville anyway in the Parks and Recreation Department. They have instantly jumped on band. We've already been sharing information because they are still in the heat of it. It's not gone. There's no silver bullet for this. I'm going to keep saying everyone asked for. You're going to hear me. I'm going to abbreviate to say MOB, Mediterranean Oak Borer. So for MOB. There's no, what's happening in California is reacting different here in Oregon. The treatments that they were using in California aren't necessarily working here. And so there's really at the very beginning stages of what are we doing, and the cost is what's really scary. And scary, I mean, it's like, again, anything you do is best management practices. So coming up with the best plan of attack and how you preserve the most that you can with the means that you can. And science is going to continue to evolve because there's so many people studying it now. They have university students studying trees that are healthy, stumps that they're still living in. They don't leave, like they're happy in their little commingled infestation. They like to stay there. So there's a lot of research going on to it. I'm really glad we weren't the first city, but the cost is, it can be significant. Right now, to dispose of a tree, the several options are, the first one is they want you to burn it on site. And remember, it's oak. So oak burns long and slow, right? City of Wilsonville, because the initial thing was to get an incinerator, spent $20,000 to get an incinerator, and they only could burn 5% of the wood. Sorry, John, you're hearing this twice.
I know.
Because it burns so slow. It's not a means of, so would they have 10 trees? They have 10 trees, I think that's where, and then you're still watching a few others. That's not a long-term range plan. The next plan is to take it and bury it somewhere, and they've done that. So you have to then take the tree, you've got to put it on a truck, you've got to take it somewhere, pay for the disposal, the burial, all of that. And even with the incineration, the $20,000 was to get it there. They had to cut all the pieces up to make it small enough. They had to load it, haul it, put it in there, wait for it to burn. That's just not sustainable.
No.
It's not. And also you have all the DEQ permitting. I mean, all the things that you have to go through.
Well, with all the cutting, you're providing opportunities for the bugs to get out.
Well,
and go somewhere else.
I think the thing is, you're going to have it even if you're driving it, right? Yeah. That's why the tree is still honestly, the tree is standing there right now until we get it 100%. I mean, it's confirmed by multiple arborists. We know we have it. ODA has to go through their process, but they're having a lot of scouting that it's better to have that tree sit in place than to be picking it up and moving it until you have. Because right now it's not disturbed. They're living in there, hanging out. They burrow in there, and that's not what kills it. It's the fungus that they create and that they feed their young on. So they've got their own hotel. They're living in there good. But what we need to do is figure out our long-term plan, and it's going to take a while, and that includes emerald ash borer too. That has an insect that's going to have a different type of impact. But there is more tried and true methods of handling, but it's, again, finances as well. So those are some longer term plans that are coming. Alyssa has got the website ready. I haven't made it live yet. Those who know currently, anybody who's on YouTube, but council knows, and our friend group, as far as Marius Young, Ed and Roberto over at White Oak Savannah know, and we'll be making this public in a way of community outreach and education, because we need to be able to have, Wilsonville has an amazing site that we are able to borrow their information. We're in this together regionally, and that's the part I love about our Parks and Recreation organization. It's like, we are not alone. Perfect timing, just hired our consulting arborist that's going to be helping transition some of our tree permitting and working through our flow process. It's a little expensive for right now before we backfill that position, but we're going to be streamlined in our process. He's an expert in our region as well. And then the arborist who is helping Wilsonville is one of the top arborists in Oregon. She's one of the contractor arborists for LO. I worked with her. She's on board to help us too. So again, we're not in the standing by ourselves, but looking at where our oak inventories are, looking at what is our planned approach for monitoring. So part of that, as you read in there, if you saw, Wilsonville already came over with their drone, their pilot, and their arborist. We flew over Mariette Young and flew over the White Oak Savannah to just document, to see what we could see from if there's any die out, and kind of took a quick evaluation, and then we'll start a monitoring plan, and then we'll expand out from there. But those are our two highest resources, right? We know we're infected, and a resource that you can't recreate on the Oak Savannah.
So is the State Department of Forestry supporting this at all?
They are. They're involved in this as well. So they're a part of it. We haven't heard from them yet, but that's because they're tied to ODA. There's already been sightings elsewhere. I don't think we shared this with John yet, but we did find a couple of oaks that had died in the frontage after the ice storm. They have the galleries. I did print a few. This is part of the attachment, but these are, sorry, Dan, there's galleries, holes, burrows, that we did find that on some of the oak stumps in the frontage. So for me, that then brings in.
Where did you find this?
In the front, you know, where the, remember, along the pathway on Long 43, one of the oaks there has those galleries.
That, I didn't know that. You didn't trust.
No, we found it after the fact.
Yeah, but
all of a sudden goes.
They cut all those down with the ice storm. Yeah. I mean, literally.
But a neighbor came and cut them down, and he's taken that wood elsewhere.
Oh, ouch.
That's why that whole chainsaw thing is a really big deal. So no removing of wood. That's why it's like, even though it was thought previous culture was go take wood out of the park.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We can't do it anyway legally, but this is another thing. That's why you have to be careful about transferring firewood in general, right? And especially, of course, oak and ash. But again, think about that. They took that from the ice storm and we didn't even necessarily know, because we didn't know we had it. Like, not just area didn't. We had been, and the ice storm came so quickly.
Well, think about the ice storm. We filled that entire parking lot 40 feet high with trees.
Yeah.
And then. Okay, so I mean,
it was,
that may be where that
we had no idea, right?
I mean, it was
the other trees from everywhere.
But the other across the parking lot is completely fine.
Yes.
So that's the other thing. Wilson showed that they'd have a tree that was infected, and literally a tree right next to, 2 or 3 feet had nothing on it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So the other key to this group of people, so I want to just make sure you're going to hear these names, Todd Prager and Associates with our contracting arborist. I haven't put it on the website. You guys have it in your email. Is our contracted or consulting arborist, Morgan Holman and Associates. She is the one who was working with Wilsonville and is kind of on our technical advisory team, making that up sort of. That's really kind of what it is. And then State Park has said that it's within our purview of the lease land to manage it as we are. So that will be something I'll be working through to see if there's any additional funding that they might be able to offer or any grants that they provide. And then Oregon Department of Agriculture, Oregon Department of Forestry, of course, those two are the governing of this whole process. So I've already notified Lake Oswego because they had a siting on a private land. Potentially, I talked to Oregon City today because I was with them. But then in my mind, it's like PGE, ODOT, Nature Conservancy, like with Comencia, making sure. So kind of getting the word around that it's just here. But you'll see, when I get the map, I'll send it out where you can just kind of monitor it's popping up everywhere. And that's why ODA hasn't gotten here yet because they're investigating other. But there is a process that will show on the website for a homeowner. If you have an oak and you have a concern or you see it, there's a way to report it. And so I think that's what Wilsonville has really done well with their planning department is have those resources because we can't take all those right now. Those calls will be coming to me. But how do you empower people to do something to try to either help save, protect, or notify? So that's going to be part of our big kind of campaign. And it will include education for all the city staff of what this looks like and what to do for all of our volunteers and then community outreach. So that's like our initial plan. First off, what are we going to do with this tree? Monitor our two high areas, find out where our oaks are around elsewhere that we need to be cognizant of. And then in that meantime as well, doing all this outreach so people know what they're looking for. Very indicative as far as one branch will die. 1 liter section will die on its own, and then that's usually a telltale sign. The insects are the size of a grain of rice, so you rarely ever see them. And the frost, if you look at the bottom, again, this is a printed version. Look at the color of, printed version.
Yeah, you can
on this one, you can see, this is actually in Wilsonville. This is a different one. It's almost the color of moss. So unless there's a large mass, you wouldn't see it. And when I took the volunteers of Marriott Young to go look at it, the picture from the day before or 2 days before was a large clump of mass, but we have a grass that was there. But when we went to see it, there was hardly any. We just had all the wind. So I would have totally missed that the day, because when we went around the corner, I was like, in my head, I'm like, I'm not seeing it. And I just brought everybody over to tell them it's here.
It took a while to find
it. It did. But when I saw the picture that Mike Perkins found, it had a ton on there. But because we had wind, that I remember my
phone. Oh, yeah.
We had a big, it was not there as much. Wow. As
right.
So this big training, the education, it's not a panic. You'll see it here, maybe here in my voice because I'm an arborist, but our oaks, you know, they're large ones, and you can't get that within 75, 100 years. For the emerald ash. Now ash grow really fast. There's also other species that can replace them, especially in the natural environment, right? And so figuring out, cities are trying to decide, you go and remove all, you have to have money, remove all the ash first and replant. But if you have a good understory, you don't want to change that sun to part shade, full shade,
right,
in a moment's notice. So the arborists have been encouraging us just to really be sharing the knowledge of these two insects, what to look for and how to identify it. And Lake Oswego had just finished their update for the urban forestry management plan right before I left, or right after I left. And they were already starting to work on their baseline plan for these two insects. So they've already sent me their, this is the part I love, they've already sent me their documentation. So as they develop, we'll be able to, as they have more staff, we can borrow some of their pieces, what Wilsonville's doing, and the same thing. So it's really nice to have a bad thing with a great community to help figure it out. So, but I could never say to you, like, oh, you've got this oak and you've moved to treatment. It's not quite there yet. It's trialing. Bartlett has been the one who's been doing the work in Wilsonville, and they'll be working with us as well. And they have labs and scientists, they have entomologists, pathologists all on staff and working through that. And then notifying also the tree care companies that we're working with if they ever come across an oak. So just really this outreach is going to be big. And think about when you have an ice storm and your trees are dropping, you're picking up and moving, but to make sure the public works team has a little bit of an idea of what they're looking at.
Wow.
So, yeah.
This sounds like a something to get your communications officer working
She's ready to go. I know. That's for the website. It's been that's where we're. Yeah. I haven't fully thrown this out there to the world because of my own capacity. Mm. But we got the website ready. Based, I was just reviewing it today, and I want to make sure we set it out there with the right information because the calls. I don't have another part. I need to be ready and have as much information I can to empower people to feel educated and know where to turn.
Well, it'll help if people know.
That's it.
To have oaks in their property.
Okay? Yeah.
I mean, like my backyard goes down a bit, mm-hmm. then it goes into city land.
Yeah.
Way deep down.
Yeah.
And there's oaks there. I mean, I went out and I had a truck down there in years to look at oaks and there's nothing dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for some of the stuff on the side, but you're looking for an oak that all of a sudden has a branch that's dead.
Yeah.
In a setting you didn't expect to happen. And then somebody needs to look at that tree. You know?
But with the park, that's parkland is fine, but it's the private land. So think about my capacity. If everybody starts calling in about these oaks and what am I to do, we need to have a plan in place to give them. And that's my biggest reason why we haven't just thrown it out there to the world yet. So I just need another week.
Come look at the oak.
Well, but it's not. They need to hire arborists too because we should not be diagnosing private trees.
A suggestion is to have website, Westland Tidings, everything with links and the best, you know. Oh, I think I have an oak.
No,
okay. The best thing you can do is to go on the website. Here are the process. Here's how you evaluate, mm-hmm. and here's how you.
So we have already written that. So I just wanted to, Becky, that's exactly what we're doing. That's why I haven't thrown it all out there because I want to have those pieces in place so I can and hold on, I will share this with you. Okay, let me get it. So this is what they had, and we already have this baseline. It gives the history of Mediterranean Oak Board, and then all the resources are here.
Oh, that's
so that's
wonderful.
What I just, we have it built. I just have to review it, but then I want to be able to get this out with our communications team and their paper. So again, people on the airwaves are getting this right now, but that's what I want to make sure is that I'm ready to handle it because.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's, but again, we were able to borrow, you know, we'll have a press release and those things coming out in the next couple weeks. But it hasn't been 100% confirmed by ODA. So I want to put that first. She's just trying to make a rounds right now before I, you know, send it out there. So, yeah.
I think a lot of
oak tree. Sorry. There's that one giant oak tree in the middle of Wild Rose, you know, I mean, park. Wait, what is it right behind our house? Right by Tanner in that enclosed large black chain link area. So I don't know how you get there, but I think, you know, obviously Mike Perkins could or you could or whoever.
Yeah, you know, we've got oaks everywhere. After living here for 14 years, I now see more oaks than I ever have in all of my 14 years, even being an arborist. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no. We have a lot of our community and a lot of them are private land too. And so that's why when somebody sees an oak, it's not just to necessarily call us and tell us when if they see these symptoms, then they know to give us a call.
Yeah.
But I do want to be able to, call out all of the oaks on parkland in Lake Otsego by using, I did not do it, but with LIDAR, mm-hmm. right, and being able to pull the oak out. So we went ahead and precursorily put that in our natural resource management plan so that we knew either to encourage other oak growth, you know, that was a good opportunity for planting, or if this happened, we knew where our oaks were, so they're already ahead of the game, but it was done with LIDAR. And then you do, then we can also do train the trainer as far as training volunteers to go out and help and scout out and get basic information in our parks too, or in private land if so desired. So I think there's a lot of tools or processes that are available from other situations in forestry that we're going to be able to adapt from. It's just getting, you know, getting that time to start building it. So
I think part of it is going to be homeowner awareness, but I think a lot of it is going to be having awareness of like the landscape crews and the arborists.
You're right.
Because they're the ones who are out doing a lot of the stuff,
cutting up trees.
And, you know, and so it's chipping it. You know, if you're, I have to go to my backyard and it's like, okay, now I got it. I want to go home and look. Right?
Yeah.
It looks okay. I think it does.
I mean, most of them do. And the other thing to know for Another thing to know, I mean, that's it. The whole thing is education. Like, yeah, that is the part that is just really touted, is making sure people know what they're looking for. Because especially when you cut it, it's mostly going after workers carrying on that. But the sheet that there used to be, Wilson was telling me, we're in the Department of Agriculture. And again, they're short staffed too, right? I mean, just in general, things go slow there. There was a whole list of hosts down in California. They're finding that it's really sticking to these oaks. And there's a couple other trees listed, but the oak is where it's being predominantly found. I haven't heard of anything that hasn't been. But again, when you're looking at your risk of mitigation of a tree, the value of an oak versus, I think, didn't you say a beech tree?
There's a beech in there too.
A beech was in there, which is kind of odd. So you're going to learn the word mob, ambrosia beetle, brass.
Looks like sawdust.
It does. It's with the shavings that come out, mm-hmm. and it's really fine. It almost looks like flour. But this is what their planning department had come up with Morgan, for their arborist, of, you know, what to do, what to call, what, you know, it's really, they've done a really good job. And then the other one I really liked was how to process. They actually will build that, but I put that they created this. And so you can see right here, this is what it looks like. Just one, everything else is healthy, and this one just dies back. But here it talks about going to, here's the link to the website to report it. Here's how you report it. These are all the insights for all the invasive species that are being reported. And then who comes to confirm it?
Or no, is it too hard?
Say that again? Not sharing?
No.
And then click on screen. Click on screen.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. That is.
Got it.
Okay.
Is it there now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
you want to see there this. It is. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Let me start at the top here. So City of Wilsonville created this. I'm really touting them. Like, they, I want to give them an award for all that they've done.
Right.
I'm really excited. But yeah, there's the hotline that you can click on that any person can do, any face, right? And then it goes to ODA or ODF to be able to come and identify. And then they're right now wanting, the city's getting larger. I need to figure this piece out. It's like, we do want to know information. I just have to figure out the most appropriate way for us to gather it. And then, you know, they explain the treatment situation. There's not, you know, and then the tree removal permit. And then what they're doing right now is they're requiring, before they'll do a permit of removal of a, what is your disposal plan?
Yeah.
So when you think about that, that all that, how to manage that as a city.
Is the risk of spread greater as the amount of boring and everything goes on and the tree goes on? Because if I'm a private landowner and I have this, and all of a sudden, okay, I have this, but it's going to cost me $2,000 to take this tree down, right? And the city is like, no, we're not paying for it. Oh, and you have to get a permit to take this tree down, and you have to go through this process.
Yeah.
Right? The homeowner.
Yeah, but I might not be telling anybody.
Right. Why would, you know, I'm just thinking of things here, right? Because if it's a, no, it doesn't matter. Once the tree is totally dead and starts to fall, then the homeowner is going to have to do it.
Well, on private land, they're going to have to anyway, right? They're private land, we would be, they're not even able to afford to do it. So that's already a struggle. Like, I mean, really, luckily, we don't charge for tree permits. So luckily, that doesn't cost. This is what they're doing currently. I don't have the capacity to handle everybody's disposal.
Right.
You know,
I guess that is.
Right. So how do you allow it for somebody to be responsible to do it? Because the cost is going to, that's what they're exactly grappling with right now.
Right.
Like literally doing the same thing.
Yeah. Right. And right now we don't really know how to dispose of it. So had a tree that had it right now, you would sit on it.
No, we have three ways. And one way, that's what they're working on right now. There's the third section that we're working, that they're trying to figure out how to get approval to do, is you can chip to a certain point, but you can't chip a log. And so there's also heating it. So like SNH, for example, who does do real composting and certified organic, get things up to a certain temperature. Mm-hmm. That is a possibility. And that's probably the only feasible, an SNH type person, right? There's McFarland's, there's others around.
Yeah.
But making sure that you're responsible of what you're bringing and that they know and how to log. Somebody actually, one of the volunteers brought up a really good one as far as you need to relief logs in wetlands restoration where they can be or even be sunken down. Is that another possibility? You know, like there's still it's kind of the infancy of figuring out what our options are. Mm-hmm. And Wilsonville even I'll go ahead and get you out of the sharing so you can see all of us. The other thing that they had did with one of the options was solarizing it. So wrapping a tree, like chipping the branches and leaving the stump and wrapping with Zip Clean. They found that all of that work that it took to do were too wet and damp in the wintertime. It did nothing. If you were in a hotter climate, you could have potentially really kind of, you know, smoked them out, but we couldn't, it wasn't working here. And all the effort to do it this was, I mean, how, like, again, I don't mean to say how lucky. They were thankful that they weren't alone, that we were in it too. But
I like the idea of using them for aquatic habitat.
There might be some good options, right? And that's where, you know, we have a lot of engineers and a lot of other people with different backgrounds that may have some knowledge of what to do, because some agencies are going to be able to afford to do more than others, and having to find that right fit of what we can do.
I noticed that all of the hyperlinks for Wilsonville went to the planning department.
Because that's who manages their trees. So same thing in Lake Oswego. For private trees, private street, commercial, all go to the planning department. So that's where another my piece of wanting to make sure we have our message mm-hmm. and outreach for somebody who's wanting to go home and look at their oaks and call. I want to make sure the information is there. And so for me, I just need probably another week or so to get that out there. It's not like we're hiding it. I'm just wanting to make sure to give good resources.
Right.
And like I said, the website actually, it's written. It's not live yet. And I was reviewing it today to try to get it up for tonight, but I ran out of time. So I think, the part that I was like, do I need to get an arborist company to get this down right now? And they were like, no, it's better to leave it. Just there, let it sit for the moment. So these are not probably fun things for you guys at all. I'm so sorry.
No, we have big things that we're...
Well, just informing that you don't help it.
Yeah.
So I am really done talking now. I think there's a
time. Okay. Thank you
for your patience and interest in it and understanding the importance and what we can do.
Okay. How about events?
Well, we have our big one on Saturday. And you will be there.
I'll be there representing Parks and Rec.
Thank you.
I don't get to go to Oregon, Ohio.
Oh,
the game.
Oh, I've got the tickets.
So we're pretty excited. I listed it a post and she had like 563 responses. So she was kind of a little worried the other day. It was great. But it's going to be perfect. So I think, we're excited to see what that's going to be, you know, during the day, 3 hours and trick-or-treat station, some games, crumbled apple prizes, and food carts and stuff like that. And it'll be great.
A little ivy while they're there, too.
Uh-huh. Some tips, yeah. We've got that. We've got our programs up and going for fall. Dance, you know, is big. Minnie Hoopers is big. That's pretty much fall now. That's going to be Laura's just making up teams now. So we've got, I think, almost about 200 kids that are going to be in their kindergarten first and second. So that's pretty
cool. Wow.
It's a big event, big program, for us for fall. So, I thought we've been busy with, meeting with volunteer groups. It's been fantastic.
I think I need to get more candy.
Well,
we have got extra.
We've got extra. So it's okay. If not, we've got lots of awesome coupons from local businesses, too.
Oh,
you need more money?
I bought.
We're gonna give you 20.
I know. Because I bought like $35 for the candy. I might pick up some more.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
I'm gonna be dry.
Okay. I'll get it. There, thanks. Thank you. I'll get more. Get another bag from Costco. The best.
It's the cheapest. Yes, it is the best way to go.
It's a good deal, and it's densely packed. Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that.
Before the meeting, she just wanted $5.
I can get 2 bags. I've already bought it. It's not a big deal. It's like, how many people?
We're hoping, well over like 200 and some kids. I mean, at least.
That's
So the pool, it's kind of geared to the little, you know, stage mm-hmm. and, you know, costumes. They're doing a little pet costume contest. And there's a band. So it's, and it's a free event. So it's really kind of unique that way.
Well, that's
so
awesome.
For the community. So we're pretty excited to see how it goes.
It'd be great.
Got some okay. food cars too. Some yeah. free can or
the Rotary's going to be there. Or you live in our nonprofit.
No, that's awesome. Oh, very good.
Next month, I'm going to try Megan can't be here. I'm going to try to bring some of our agency stuff over.
Great.
So you can meet them in person and like, hopefully one of them.
Yeah.
Good. And then kind of give you the updates.
Your what staff?
Adult
community.
Oh,
yeah. I thought it'd be a good time to so you can see all the programming that they offer and what they do. And we know who they serve, but even just like it's amazing what they do for one full-time person, mm-hmm. two half-time people. It's impressive.
Yeah. Do you know who's going to be here?
Well, I would, we'll see. It might be Nicole. She's kind of local, but I'd like to get both Nicole and Tiffany.
Yeah.
And
she may be able to be virtual, but.
How much time do you want to commit to an overview?
You may have updates. Yeah, 10, 15 minutes of that, but yeah.
Okay.
Joey's on herself, but.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, so many meetings. Like,
we've had, come up and there's a lot.
We're pretty excited about the policies, coming up, you know, with special events and just with our programming in general, too. We're trying to really kind of look at that.
So are you aware of anything from City Council that's coming our way?
I don't believe so. And when I say under cell, I'm trying to brag on her because we do so much more. But I was trying to think of for council, no, I don't think so. Okay. I haven't heard anything. I know they were working on a couple ordinances, but nothing that's really maybe feeding wildlife and trying to define that. That would also come into parks over time. But that's what I know right now. Our new city attorney has been totally valuable. I mean, just like she's amazing. A lot of our issues are getting, she's getting great support looking at volunteer waiver forms and a permission or participant form, things that are just like standard that we haven't been able to either update or have. It's been great. And I think Tara and her team has just been really kind of riding the wave of really just saying things that they need to help them do their jobs better to provide, just we're really finally getting that moving forward. And a part that I'm grateful for is I could have an idea or see something and it could just sit there. They're taking it and moving it, not grimacing at too much at me, but it's like to me, it's when I started, what is not working for you? And we're getting through some of these now. I'm really excited for it and proud of it too, because they're taking it on and trying to make it better. And again, for their own sanity too, you know.
On the same page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One report that you may want to consider is just a little, maybe some updates. So in 2 weeks, we'll be going to the Oregon Recreation Park Association Conference, which is our big fun there's four work sessions every hour all day, starting on Wednesday through Friday. And it's just a really big team camaraderie thing, not only from our department. It's kind of like our celebration, but there's just so much learning and inner agency conversations going on. Jen, who's in charge of our park supervisor, is actually going to be on one of the panels one of the sessions to talk about women in park maintenance, which is really exciting to be there. And it's really fun. So, I mean, there's just so much learning. It's like we get so much impact learning at one moment in time. So we will, all of the rec staff is going, part of the park staff is going into adult community center is going, so we'll be in Sun River for that and probably have some fun things to share maybe in November.
A lot of networking, which is fantastic.
It's huge.
We look forward to.
Wonderful. So some really good materials were shared tonight. And what I'd like to request is if we can, because we do a PDF of the notes, attach the PDF, merge the PDF, and we'll talk about that. Yeah, I'll show you how to do that.
I'm clunky at it. I can do it, but I'm not.
Yeah.
She'll do it very quickly.
Yeah, so like, okay.
Quick.
No, that's great. It is also just great documentation. I think it's great to have for record.
And it makes the notes so much richer, and it also makes it a heck of a lot easier. Please see attachment one.
Yeah.
So that makes that work. Our next meeting is December 12th. We have the Adult Community Center. We also have
November.
It's November. November.
Did I say?
You said December.
It's November 14th.
November 14th. Yes. I looked at the bottom of the agenda. I did it last month.
You were all in your head.
So we have the Adult Community Center as a topic. We also have, based on our schedule, some reflections on the year. And then in December, we actually have to produce the strategic review of progress and put together the review plan and do all that. So in November, it's just a quick year in review reflections. Yeah. I know Megan won't be here. So if there's any information that you need to share, we can add that to the agenda and just discussion on Megan's material.
Sounds great.
And I'm just going to put it in here in case we need it.
I appreciate it. It will be a good reminder for Tara and I.
Megan shared material. And that way we have a place for that. And I'll take off the Willamette Park project update because you won't be here for that.
Yeah. And I'm hoping it should be in December. That would be my goal, is to have just over the bond, kind of what I've been trying to work on, that bond project update. Because we'll be working on our budget too at that same time. So I want to see, make sure I'm getting those due dates done. And capital, and that probably won't have a full report on that until January. I'm still learning our process and our timing, but look, we'll all be going over our budget with you when we get to that point as well.
Wonderful. Okay. Are there any other items? I missed items of interest from other board members. I apologize.
Well, the one thing I like to do is to stop the two of you. I mean, I was part of the group at Mary S. Young, and we all had 3 hours with them in the park. Of course, an hour of it was looking at the oak. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We were able to walk the trails and do that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it's a big volunteer group that we had at Mary's.
Yeah. And
they were all very impressed with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So they're really happy about things, you know. Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, in order to use my chainsaw, I might have to sign a form. That's great. Get me the form.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. Before, it was always, you know, what we did at Mary S. Young, because what people told us, do whatever you want, just don't tell us, then we can't say, you know, sort of stuff. And we do a pretty good job of not causing any problems, but that's how we worked a little bit. And so I think that they're happy that there's going to be a system that's set up for, these are things you can do. And if you need to do something, here's what you, who's who you have to tell, that sort of stuff. But everybody was really happy to see you guys. Well, enjoyed the time at this film.
They were so kind. I mean, they just, again, for me, volunteerism, including like you guys, this may sound cheesy, but it's golden. Like, we need the help. And the thing that I feel like that has been missed, having those volunteer hours, that volunteer, all that what you are doing helps us lead to even grants, because that work we need to be doing out in other areas. And so being able to capture that and having more of a formalized program without a lot of roadblocks will make it so that I can get to those things quicker. So Tara said, we're being with all of our friends groups and walking through and making sure the city is appreciating what is being given to us is really important. And I want State Parks to hear that too. They need to know what's being given to that park.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're getting to a spot where it's getting a lot, and we're looking at having to take, you know, dead trees down that are $10,000 to $20,000 in swoops. We don't have that budget, right? So I need to be able to have a kind of a plan to be able to share that and look for opportunities for grants or potential funding from them in their areas, right? So thank you for that. It's been so great. I've been out in the parks lately. And they're like,
whoa. She was happy. She had to be someplace at 11:30. We had to
get her back to the trail.
She would have stayed there for a couple hours.
Well, if you ever want to go down to Willamette Park,
yes.
And I've been going down and just going from the now non-motorized boat launch to, you know, on the other side of
Bernard,
and just looking at who's down there, what are they doing, going down at different times, and just thinking about how can this be optimized.
Yeah.
Not maximized, but optimized. there are a lot of things I think we can do.
Yeah. Well, so, we just walk through, I go with Jen to walk through each, we're working our way through all the parks and looking at capital projects, things that are either on like bond or CIP, and looking at what, so we're kind of getting our deferred maintenance list going right now, so we, because we don't have that in place yet, so that when I'm saying yes to projects, like, is this deferred maintenance, is this safety and emergency? So kind of all the things I've kind of been telling all of our pathways to. I should have a better update on recreational immunity when I get back to. I will be the liaison for the legislative committee for the ORPA board. And so I'll be attending those meetings more regularly. A little bit of it's over my head, but I'm learning a lot, like the type of house bill, you know, blah, 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 blah. Those things do impact parks. So I'll be able to have more updates on those things that are coming down the pipeline as well. So
if you ever, you know, we represent different neighborhoods mm-hmm. here, not all of our neighborhoods, but most of them. And if you ever, you know, we could, as a park board member, you know, if you're going through the parks in my neighborhood, I'd love to walk them with you. Yeah. It's like, well, this is how they do, but we do understand the stuff. So, you know,
absolutely.
I don't know if I don't mean to speak for the rest of the board members, but I mean, nobody knows Marius Young like John does. And and I know Willamette and Fields Bridge really, really, really well. So, you know.
Yep, we're meeting with our volunteer group, so that's kind of where it's starting right now, so we can get everybody kind of on the same page,
that's
and then
I'm
meeting with park staff just to look at their day-to-day of what, you know, what they're doing and what's impacting, but yeah, always more can come in.
Okay, anything else for this month?
No.
Okay, then we'll look forward to getting together November 14th, even though Megan won't be with us, and then in December, we'll put together the review of everything. November, December, you might want to reread your plan. I want to make sure that it's ready to go for January. So unless there's anything else you guys have, I think that we can close our meeting.
Okay. Nice job. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna
record one
right here. I'm gonna stop recording.